A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
So Daniel sent us this one, and it's not hypothetical. Their car, a 2012 model, third hand, just lost its clutch. In Israel, that's a 4,000 to 6,000 shekel repair on a car worth maybe 15,000. The staring at the inflection point where you start wondering if you're playing whack-a-mole with failing parts. His question is, how do you actually make that call? Repair and keep going, or sell as is, switch to rentals, and save for something better.
And the timing's almost perfect because our car just did the exact same thing.
Our clutch didn't fail. We're using Daniel's situation as the case study. But yes, it's the same math problem. And in Israel, the math is weird.
It's extremely weird. Most people don't realize how much the purchase tax distorts everything downstream. Israel charges 83% purchase tax on new cars, plus 17% VAT. So a budget new car that would cost 70,000 shekels elsewhere lands at over 150,000 here. That inflates the entire used market. A 10-year-old car in Israel holds 40 to 60% of its original value. In the US or Europe, you're looking at 20 to 30%.
Which means the just buy another beater strategy doesn't translate. A 10-year-old Corolla in decent shape is 30,000 shekels, not $3,000.
So the standard advice you'll find online, if a repair costs more than half the car's value, scrap it. That rule of thumb was built for markets where cars depreciate normally. Here, the numbers look different, but the underlying logic still has to work. We just need to adapt it.
So that's what we're going to do. Build a framework, use Daniel's clutch as the worked example, and give people something they can run on their own car in 10 minutes.
Let's start with the thing that bothers me most about the 50% rule. It looks at one repair in isolation.
Right. Daniel's clutch quote, let's call it 5,000 shekels. That's about 33% of a 15,000 shekel car. Under the threshold, fix it and move on, according to the rule.
But that car also needs tires. That's another 2,000. And Daniel mentioned the AC compressor is making noise. That's a 3,000 shekel repair waiting to happen. Suddenly, the cumulative need is somewhere around 9 to 11,000 shekels, which is 60 to 73% of the car's value. The single repair rule completely missed the pileup.
And the pileup is the norm, not the exception. Once a car crosses 10 years and 150,000 kilometers, you're not dealing with isolated failures. You're dealing with a system where multiple components are all approaching end of life on roughly the same schedule.
There's actual data on this. Israeli garages track repair frequency, and the numbers are striking. Once a car passes that 10-year, 150,000-kilometer mark, the probability of a second major failure within 12 months of the first repair is roughly 35 to 40%.
So the expected cost of keeping the car for another year isn't just the clutch. It's the clutch plus a 35 to 40% chance of another 3 to 8,000 shekel hit.
And that's what I'd call the whack-a-mole coefficient. You fix one thing, and within months, sometimes weeks, something else pops. The alternator goes. The starter motor seizes. The cooling system springs a leak. Each repair is defensible on its own. Together, they eat you alive.
Let's put that into Daniel's actual numbers. Clutch repair, 5,000 shekels. Tires, 2,000. AC compressor. Let's say a 40% chance it fails this year, so the expected cost is 1,200 shekels. That's 8,200 shekels in expected repair costs for year one alone, on a car worth 15,000.
And that's before we add the regular ownership costs. Insurance runs about 300 shekels a month. The annual safety test is 150. You should be setting aside at least 200 a month for routine maintenance, oil changes, brakes, filters. And then there's depreciation. On a 15,000 shekel car that you'd keep for maybe 2.5 more years, you're losing about 500 shekels a month in value.
So ownership alone, before any repairs, is about 1,150 shekels a month, 13,800 a year. Add the 8,200 in expected repairs, and keeping this car for 12 months costs you about 22,000 shekels. And at the end of that year, you own a 14-year-old car worth maybe 12,000 shekels.
That's a brutal number. 22,000 shekels to end up with a 12,000 shekel asset. You've destroyed 10,000 shekels of value in a year.
Now compare that to the alternative. Sell the car as is. A mechanic special with a known bad clutch. You can get about 8,000 shekels for it in Israel. It's not nothing.
People assume a broken car is worthless. It's not. The scrap value floor in Israel is 3,000 to 5,000 shekels, even for a non-runner. A car that drives but needs a clutch, 8,000 is realistic. That's 40 to 60% of the working value, not zero.
So Daniel sells for 8,000. He also doesn't spend the 5,000 on the clutch. That's 13,000 shekels in hand immediately. Add the 1150 a month he's not spending on ownership. In 6 months, he's got about 20,000. In 12 months, nearly 27,000.
That's enough for a decent 10 to 12 year old replacement, or a solid down payment on something newer.
But we haven't factored in what he spends on transportation during those 12 months. That's where the rental math comes in.
And this is the part where Israel's market is actually helpful. Short-term car rental here runs about 150 to 200 shekels per day for a weekly rental. Monthly rentals drop to 100 to 130 shekels per day. If Daniel's driving two or three times a week, let's call it 10 to 12 days a month, that's 1,200 to 2,400 shekels a month in rental costs.
At the low end, 1,200 a month for rentals versus 1,150 a month for ownership. They're almost identical. Except with rentals, you have zero repair risk. You're driving a newer car, and you've got 13,000 shekels in the bank.
The break-even point on usage is around 8 to 10 days per month. Below that, renting plus the occasional taxi is clearly cheaper than owning. Above that, owning wins on pure operating cost, but only if repair costs stay low. And on a 13-year-old car, they won't.
Let's run the full 12-month comparison for Daniel's situation. Scenario A. Fix the clutch, keep the car. 5,000 on repairs, 13,800 on ownership. Total cash outlay, 18,800. End state. Car worth roughly 12,000 shekels. Net position, minus 6,800.
Scenario B. Sell as is for 8,000, rent 10 days a month at 1,500 shekels. That's 18,000 in rental costs for the year. But you started with 8,000 from the sale, and you've been banking that 1,150 a month you're not spending on ownership. Net cash flow, minus 18,000 in rentals, plus 8,000 from the sale, plus 13,800 saved on ownership, you're actually up about 3,800 shekels. And you've had zero breakdown risk.
Wait, walk me through that again. Where does the 13,800 come from in scenario B?
It's the ownership cost you didn't pay. Insurance, maintenance reserve, depreciation, that 1150 a month. In scenario A, you spend it. In scenario B, you don't. So relative to scenario A, you're 13,800 ahead before we even talk about the rental costs.
Right. So it's not that scenario. B puts cash in your pocket. It's that scenario A drains it, and scenario B doesn't. The difference between them is about 10,500 shekels over 12 months in favor of selling.
And that's before we talk about the tail risk. The real nightmare scenario isn't spending too much on repairs. It's the catastrophic failure.
The stranded asset.
The engine seizes. The transmission grenades itself. Suddenly, your 15,000 shekel car is worth 3,000 shekels in scrap, and you have no car and no savings for a replacement. You're forced into whatever you can finance on short notice, which, in Israel, with that 83% tax, means you're probably buying another old car with unknown problems.
That's the trap. You keep fixing the car you know because you can't afford the car you want. But every repair pushes the replacement further away, and the risk of catastrophic failure keeps rising.
The annual safety test, the test as everyone calls it here, gives people false confidence. It checks brakes, emissions, lights, steering. It does not check whether your AC compressor is about to seize, your alternator is on its last legs, or your cooling system has a hairline crack that'll blow on the Ayalon Highway in August.
A car can pass the test and still be a ticking time bomb. The test is a safety flaw, not a reliability guarantee.
And that's a misconception worth naming directly. I've heard so many people say it passed the test, it's fine. No, It passed the test, which means it won't kill you today. It says nothing about whether it'll start tomorrow.
So let's talk about the replacement car trap, because this is where a lot of people get stuck. Daniel sells his car for $8,000, saves aggressively for a year, has 27,000 shekels. What does that actually buy in Israel?
A 10 to 12 year old car. Something like a 2014 or 2015 Mazda 3 or Hyundai i30 with reasonable kilometers. But here's the thing, that car is also going to need repairs. It's just further from the cliff edge.
So you're not escaping the repair game. You're just resetting the clock.
You're resetting the clock, and you're buying yourself a window. A 2015 car with 120,000 kilometers probably has 3 to 4 years before it enters the whack-a-mole zone. A 2012 car with 180,000 is already deep in it. The question isn't, will I ever pay for repairs again? It's how much runway do I get before the repair frequency becomes unsustainable?
Which brings us to the replacement budget. If Daniel wants something genuinely reliable, not just reliable for a 12-year-old car, he's looking at more like 40 to 50,000 shekels. That's a 6 or 7-year-old car in Israel.
And that means 12 to 18 months of saving under the rental strategy, not 6 to 12.
That's a long time to be renting.
It is. And that's the real trade-off. The math says sell and rent. But the lived experience of renting a car every time you need to go somewhere, booking it, picking it up, returning it, that friction is real. It's not just a financial calculation.
Daniel mentioned they don't use the car daily. That's the key variable that makes the rental path viable. If you're commuting to work 5 days a week, renting is a nightmare, and the math doesn't work anyway. You'd be spending 3 to 4,000 shekels a month on rentals.
Right. The usage frequency is the hinge. 2 to 3 times a week makes renting feasible. 5 days a week makes it painful and expensive. Once a week makes renting the obvious choice. You'd be crazy to own.
So, let's build the actual framework. Something someone can use. What are the variables?
3 core variables. 1. The car's current as-is value. Not what you paid for it, not what you think it's worth, what someone will actually hand you cash for it today with its known problems. 2. The total expected repair cost over the next 12 months. That's the known repairs plus the probability weighted unknown ones. 3. Your monthly usage. How many days per month you actually need a car?
And then 2 paths to compare. Path 1, keep the car. Add up the repair costs, plus 12 months of ownership costs. Insurance, maintenance reserve, depreciation, test fee. Path 2, sell the car, rent when needed. Add up 12 months of rental costs at your usage level. Subtract the sale proceeds. Subtract the ownership costs you're no longer paying.
That $1,150 a month is real money you're not spending anymore. Over a year, it's almost 14,000 shekels. That's what makes the rental path competitive, even when rental costs look high.
And there's a third factor that's harder to quantify. Peace of mind.
The will it start premium.
Yeah. For some people, the stress of wondering whether today's the day the car leaves them stranded is worth 2 or 3,000 shekels a year. They pay that just to not think about it.
And it's not irrational. A breakdown isn't just an inconvenience. It's a missed meeting, a stranded kid, a tow truck bill, a garage that has your car for 3 days while you scramble. The expected cost of a breakdown includes all of that.
There's also the fact that when you're renting, you're driving a newer car. Better safety features, better fuel economy, working AC. It's not nothing.
The AC point is not trivial in Israel in August.
It really isn't.
So let's put some guardrails on this framework. When does the keep and repair path actually make sense?
When the car is worth more than about 30,000 shekels, and the repair is a known, isolated fix. If you've got a 2018 car worth 60,000 and it needs a 5,000 shekel repair, that's 8% of the car's value. The probability of a second major failure in the next year is much lower, maybe 10 to 15% instead of 35 to 40. The math tilts toward fixing.
Same absolute repair cost, completely different decision. The car's age and value change the probability distribution of future failures. That's what the 50% rule misses. It treats all cars as equally likely to fail again, and they're not.
The other scenario where keeping makes sense, you're 6 months away from a planned replacement anyway. You know you're buying something newer in January. The clutch repair is 5,000 shekels. Renting for 6 months at 1,500 a month is 9,000. Fix the clutch. limp through 6 months, sell the car in working condition for $15,000 instead of $8,000. You come out ahead.
That's the bridge repair. You're not fixing the car because you believe in it. You're fixing it because it's the cheapest way to get to a known exit point.
The danger is when the bridge repair turns into a bridge that keeps getting longer. You fix the clutch in July, planning to sell in January. In September, the alternator goes. Now you're 3,000 shekels deeper, and suddenly selling in January means losing even more. The bridge keeps extending.
That's how people end up 5 years and 40,000 shekels into a car they were about to replace.
Let's talk about the cash for cars option. In Israel, there are services that'll buy any car, running or not, for export or parts. For a non-running car, they typically offer 3,000 to 5,000 shekels. For a running car with a known major issue, like a clutch, more like 7,000 to 9,000.
The range matters because it changes the math. If Daniel can get 9,000 for the car as is instead of 8, that's another 1,000 shekels in the replacement fund. If he can only get 5, the rental path looks less attractive.
So step one is actually getting quotes. Not guessing. Call 3 cash for cars, services, get real numbers, then run the framework with actual data.
And get a real quote on the clutch repair too. 4,000 to 6,000 is the range. Which end you land on matters. A 4,000 shekel clutch on a car you can sell for 9,000 as is, the repair is 44% of the as is value. A 6,000 shekel clutch on a car worth 7,000 as is, that's 86%. Same car, same problem, different quotes, completely different answer.
The framework is only as good as the numbers you feed it.
Which is why most people get this wrong. They use ballpark figures, or they use the car's working value when they should be using the as-is value, or they ignore the probability of future failures entirely.
The probability part is the hardest to internalize because it's counterintuitive. You look at a clutch repair and think, once this is done, the car is sorted. But on a 13-year-old car, the clutch was never the only thing about to fail. It was just the first thing.
There's a concept from reliability engineering called the bathtub curve. Components have high failure rates early in life, manufacturing defects, then a long flat period of low failure, then a steep climb at end of life. On a car, dozens of components are on their own bathtub curves. By year 13, most of them are climbing that end of life slope simultaneously.
So fixing the clutch just means the next component on its curve gets to fail on schedule.
The suspension bushings, the water pump, the alternator, the starter, the AC compressor, the radiator, they're all in the same age cohort. They're all climbing the curve together. You can't fix your way out of that. You can only manage the timing.
Which brings us back to Daniel's actual decision. What should he do?
Based on the numbers we've laid out, if he's driving 10 to 12 days a month and can get 8,000 shekels for the car as is, the rental path comes out ahead over 12 months. Not by a massive margin. Maybe a few thousand shekels, but it eliminates the tail risk of catastrophic failure and buys him a year of driving newer, more reliable cars while he saves.
And the saving part is crucial. The rental strategy only works if you actually save the money you're not spending on ownership. If you just spend it on other things, you're in the same position a year from now, but with no car and no savings.
That's the discipline piece. Set up an automatic transfer. The $1,150 a month you are spending on insurance and maintenance, move it to a separate account the day you sell the car. Don't touch it. That's your replacement fund.
Daniel's the kind of person who'd actually do that.
He absolutely is. And Hannah would enforce it.
So the actionable framework. Step 1. Get a real quote for the repair. Step 2. Get real quotes for selling the car as is. Step 3. Estimate your actual monthly usage. Be honest, not aspirational. Step 4. Calculate the total cost of keeping for 12 months. Repair costs plus probability. Weighted future repairs plus ownership costs. Step 5. Calculate the total cost of switching. Rental costs minus sale proceeds minus avoided ownership costs. Step 6. Compare.
And step 7. If the two paths are within about 10% of each other, choose the rental path. You're buying peace of mind and eliminating tail risk. That's worth a small premium.
The within 10% rule is a good heuristic. If the numbers are close, the unquantifiable stuff, breakdown stress, rental friction, AC reliability in August, should tip the decision.
One more thing worth mentioning. New car prices in Israel rose about 12% year over year as of mid-2026. That's going to keep pushing used car prices up too. The replacement car Daniel is saving for today might cost more by the time he's ready to buy.
Which cuts both ways. It makes the keep and repair path look better because your current car is also appreciating in this distorted market. But it also means delaying the replacement makes it more expensive.
The appreciation effect on a 13-year-old car is minimal, though. Most of the price inflation hits the 3 to 7-year-old range, the cars people actually want to buy. A 2012 car is near the floor regardless of market conditions.
There. So the inflation argument tilts toward sell sooner, buy sooner.
I think so.
Let's pull this together into a decision rule. If your car is over 10 years old, worth under 20,000 shekels, and needs a repair that costs more than 25% of its as-is value, stop and run the full 12-month comparison. Don't just fix it because the single repair is under 50%. The single repair is never the whole story.
And if your monthly usage is under 10 days, the rental path is almost certainly better. The math is just too favorable.
The hardest case is the one where the math says, sell, but the heart says keep. You know the car. You know its history. You've already fixed the alternator and the water pump and the radiator. Surely the next thing won't fail?
That's the gambler's fallacy applied to car repair. Past repairs don't reduce the probability of future failures. They're evidence that the car is in the failure-prone phase of its life. Every repair you've already done is a data point suggesting more repairs are coming.
The car is not due for a break. It's demonstrating that it breaks.
Precisely.
All right. So for Daniel, the recommendation is get the quotes, run the framework. But based on what we know, selling as is and renting while saving for 12 to 18 months is the mathematically sound path. He'll end up with a better car and less stress.
And he'll have a year of driving rental cars with working AC through the Israeli summer. That alone might be worth it.
There is something to be said for not spending August in a car whose AC compressor is making a noise.
That noise is the sound of a 3,000 shekel bill being rehearsed.
So the open question I want to leave people with, at what point does the peace of mind premium outweigh the pure financial math? For some people, the stress of wondering, will it start tomorrow, is worth 2 or 3,000 shekels a year. They'd happily pay that to not think about it. For others, they'll squeeze every last kilometer out of a car and accept the occasional breakdown as the price of frugality. Neither is wrong. But you should know which one you are before you make the call.
And as Israeli car prices keep climbing, the calculus shifts further toward keeping old cars longer. The repair costs don't change much, but the replacement cost keeps rising. The inflection point moves. It doesn't disappear.
And now, Hilbert's daily fun fact.
In 1962, Queen Elizabeth II's royal tour of New Zealand was nearly thrown into chaos when the New Zealand government realized the South Island town of Hokitika had no toilet facilities suitable for a monarch. A special royal lavatory was airlifted from Christchurch by helicopter, arriving 40 minutes before the Queen's motorcade. The operation was classified as a matter of national dignity.
A royal lavatory airlift. That's a sentence I didn't expect to hear today.
National dignity hangs by a thread sometimes.
This has been My Weird Prompts, thanks to our producer, Hilbert Flumingtop. If you want to send us your own question, car repair dilemmas or otherwise, email the show at show@myweirdprompts.com. We'll be back soon.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The hosts dig in, the hosts dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too, from half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time, stay curious, keep weird in mind.